Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI. So we've had a lot of amazing guests here on the show, and some of the most popular episodes are the ones where people are just most closely related to the guest who comes on. And I think a lot of people can relate to the story behind today's guest, which is Phil Lichtenberger, a guy who owns a podcast, brand new podcast, actually. He's a student of mine. His podcast is called Scanner School. Everything you wanted to know about the scanner radio hobby. Now, you might be asking yourself, well, I'm not interested in that topic at all. And you may not be. However, there's a lot of people out there who are, and they're finding his brand new podcast, which is really, 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 really cool. And today, we have a conversation with Phil as he's building his business. He's not super successful yet, but he's getting there. He's on his way, but he's having a lot of fun doing it. But he also has a lot of questions to ask as well. So today, we're going to be talking with Phil, somebody who's just in the thick of it right now, because I know a lot of you are there too. And whether you have a hobby blog, a hobby podcast, a hobby video channel, or maybe you're trying to build a real business, doesn't matter. It's tough. It's difficult. But we're going to get through it together. So sit back, relax. We're going to chat with Phil in just a moment. But first, dude, we got to play the intro music.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host, Frosty the Snowman is his least favorite Christmas song, Pat Flynn. Thumpity thump thump, there goes Pat Flynn now. Thumpity thump. Okay, I'll stop.
Our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you're like most entrepreneurs, you probably spend a lot of time sitting. Well, a standing desk can make a huge difference. It's actually a complete game changer. If you haven't tried one before, this offer from Uplift is for you. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. Over a million customers have chosen Uplift Desk. Innovative product designs, reasonable pricing, same-day shipping, free accessories with every desk, you can see why they're such a big hit. Standing while I work helps me get the creative juices flowing, helps me focus and stay productive, and I'm way more alert when I'm standing. And Uplift is a great deal. An industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that. And they provide a state-of-the-art experience. They're stable, made of very solid materials, and there are over 100 desktop choices and customizations available. Go to upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's UPLIFT desk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order. Hey, what's up, guys? Thank you so much for joining me today in session 311 of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. If you haven't already done so, please take a moment just to subscribe to the show. We've got a lot of great stuff, not just today, but coming up in the near future. We come out every single Wednesday, and I would love to invite you to come on to just regularly listen to the show. A lot of people have made it a habit to do it. And whether you go back to the beginning and binge listen all the way through, or you just choose to start from this point forward, doesn't matter. I'm stoked that you're here with me. I'm excited to provide value to you on your way to a successful business. My name is Pat Flynn. I'm here to help you make more money, save more time, and help more people too. And today we're talking with Phil Lichtenberger, the owner and founder of Scanner School, Scanner Radio tutorials, podcasts, and reviews based on a hobby that is now turning into something perhaps a little bit more. And like I said, we're going to talk with Phil in just a moment. But by the way, I know a lot of you who are listening to this, you're like, Pat, you have a student and he's coming on. That's awesome. And you know, I know you have several other students too. We've had students on the show before too. And every time I have a student on the show, everybody's like, how can I get involved with that program? So I'm just going to mention it really, really quickly up front here. This isn't like a super hard pitch because it's actually something that you can get for free. If you want to check it out and learn how to start a podcast in just 3 days, you can learn how to set it up and get it all functioning. All you have to do is go to howtostartapodcast.com. Again, howtostartapodcast.com, completely free. Check it out. I invite you to do that whenever you're ready. So now let's head on over to the interview today with Phil Lichtenberger from Scanner School. We'll talk about how he got started, what it was like to go through the course, to get his podcast up and running. He's been consistent ever since he launched his show. I just checked his podcast. He's been consistent every single week, coming out with new stuff. So he's on it. He's already passed, I think, episode 10 now, I think, which is, you know, if you get past episode 7 in your podcast, it's like the magical number. Like, hey, I'm committed to this. I'm going to do it. I'm in the rhythm. All right, here we go. This is Phil Lichtenberger from Scanner School Podcast and scannerschool.com. Phil, welcome to the SPI Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. This is great.
Great. Thanks. It's pleasure's all mine, Pat. I'm a huge, huge fan.
Well, I'm a very, very big fan of you now because not only are you a student of mine for a number of the different courses that I offer, and we'll talk about which ones and why you're getting involved in those in just a minute. But more than that, you are, I can tell, an action taker. You've put in a lot of work already. You've had some success already from what you've been doing, although it's small compared to perhaps some of the other guests that we have on the podcast. You're just starting out in this journey. And we're going to talk about that and kind of the things you're doing to grow and really why you're doing this in the first place. But even before that, I'd love to know a little bit about kind of what is it that you do and how you got there.
All right. So I guess what I do as far as the online stuff, I'm what you call a scanner radio buff or whatever. I enjoy the hobby of scanning or scanner radio.
So what makes a radio a scanner radio exactly? I'm a newbie at this, so you can teach all of us.
Yeah, all right. Well, you can listen to session 2. Not kidding. what the scanner radio is basically it's a receiver. So you don't have the ability to transmit to anything you pick up. So some things that you can listen to depending where you live, aviation, railroad, police, fire, you can hear what's going on in your neighborhood before the media has a chance to report on it. Okay. So it's as real time as you can get.
This has been a hobby of yours for a while?
For as long as I can remember. I grew up, my dad was in the hobby, so I always grew up with a radio somewhere in the house, at my grandparents' house. I remember hearing it at their house as well. So, so it's been something that that I've always been interested in and always had an involvement with.
That's really cool. So do you actually like build these from scratch on your own?
No, I'm not that involved with it. They're a little bit more advanced than that now. It used to be many, many years ago you could do stuff like that, but now it's really gotten to the point where commercial grade's the way to go. Although there's parts of the hobby which I plan on going into with my podcast and everything else on how to take off the shelf really cheap receivers and get in for just a couple of bucks and get into the hobby as well. So it doesn't take hundreds of bucks to get into what get into my hobby. So that's all part of why I'm here, you know, in your courses and everything else, so to kind of teach people how to do that.
I was going to say, so this was a hobby of yours for a while. What exactly kind of triggered you to want to go a little bit further with this and start teaching others how to do the same stuff? Because, you know, a lot of people in the audience, they're just starting out and they also have hobbies too. but a lot of times people just want to keep them as hobbies, or they just don't even know how to do anything further. What triggered you to want to do more?
I kind of fell into it, really. About 2005, there was a local website here that was dealing with the local scanning on Long Island, and he kind of fell prey to a hacker a couple of times and just decided to fold up shop, and it left an opening. So I emailed the owner of that website. I said, hey, do you mind if, since you're giving up, do you mind if I kind of take over from here on out? And he says, go ahead, you know, do what you want. Anything I had saved from his site I could use. He was basically just done.
Wow.
And so I started my own website, which is my amateur radio call sign, W2LIE.net. Looking back on it, there's two mistakes I made with that one. First, I used an amateur radio call sign, which people have a hard time remembering what it is. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I went with a .net, and everybody wants the .com. But, you know, live and learn. Right. But the website did well. I have about 10,000 or so members on it who aren't active. It's kind of, unfortunately, you know, been a back burner project at this point. And what really started it off was, at the time I started this in 2005, nobody was putting their scanner radio audio online to listen to remotely. I mean, now there's smartphone apps LA to do that, but this was all before that happened. So that draw brought a lot of people from the local area to my website. And looking back at it now, you had to sign up for the site in order to get the link to listen. So I didn't really know what I was doing back then, but it turns out that I could have used that to build an email list, but again, that ties into what I'm learning now with your courses. So with the website there and the audience, people started asking me to program their scanners the way that I had mine done so they can listen to it without needing to be in front of a computer. Mm-hmm. So that really kind of opened up the door for my online business, I guess you could say.
Nice.
So going from the hobby of programming then became an S Corp in 2010, where I was selling the radios. And, you know, that was kind of live and learn type of thing as far as getting as a distributor and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then that became, I got tied into another company, and that's really my bread and butter right now. I sell fire pagers, and I have boxes right now that have orders ready to go out. So in 2017, I split up the company to East Coast Pagers, which now sells the fire pagers. I still do the radio programming, and I still do a lot of with the programming comes consulting, and you know that's really what I enjoy doing is teaching people about the hobby and what I know. And also to back up a bit too, I've been involved with a local ham radio, I guess you'd say forum, where once a year they have at the local college, they have an all-day event where they bring in a couple of experts in their fields and they talk about for 50 minutes a topic. And I've been doing a scanner radio class there, two sessions back-to-back, an intro and an advanced class for about the last 8 or 9 years. So every time I go in there, it's a packed room, and they keep asking me to come back. So I know the local need is there, mm-hmm. you know, as far as being able to teach people. And so just all of that, and knowing that other people are out there have the same exact questions, I want to be able to share what I know and, you know, just give it to other people.
That's really cool. In those rooms that you speak in, like, how many people are there when you're doing that thing?
It's like a typical, university classroom. So I guess you'd be about, max is at about 50 people or so.
But I mean, still, and the purpose of asking this question for everybody is the fact that, you know, this is a small, seemingly small space, a very niched kind of thing. But there are people out there who are interested in these small niches. And when you are building a business, you don't need to, you know, build something that changes the world. I remember I did an interview once, Phil, on a very popular podcast called Mixergy with Andrew Warner. And what I loved about Andrew is that he asks like grilling questions, but that's also what really scared me about that interview. And one of the first questions he asked me was like, why are you playing around with all these little niche sites and teaching people how to do, you know, build these small businesses? Why aren't you building something big like an Excel or some program that everybody could use. And I said, you know, like, I don't, first of all, I'm helping people, which is the most important thing. And secondly, I may not be doing something that's changing the entire world, but I'm changing somebody's world. And I knew this from my own experience with the LEED exam, with the, you know, the architecture stuff that I did when I first started out. And you're kind of doing the same thing. So you're in this space, you're becoming an expert, which is great. And now you're coming online to start to teach other people how to do the same thing. So what are some things that you're doing now to help get more exposure and increase your business at this point?
One of the first things I do is I follow you pretty close, Pat. I mean, you say you're the crash test dummy, and I take every lesson that you teach and every experience that you've gone through, and I use that basically to help promote what I'm doing. So,
do you have any specific examples of how I've been able to help you?
Well, I've just finished binging on 280 plus episodes in the last 6 months, so it's kind of it's kind of really a blur. I mean, right now when we're recording, we are at like what, 301, so I'm almost there. But some of the things that come to mind is definitely when you talk about the ConvertKit stuff, building an email list, bringing on Amy Porterfield, you know, that kind of stuff. When you bring on Chris Ducker and you've talked about the Superman syndrome. I mean, I suffered with Superman syndrome. So being able to realize that and you having Chris Ducker on your podcast and you know, I saw myself or heard myself basically, you know, when he talks about how much work he was taking on and you kind of get paralyzed by all the other things that are out there. And mm-hmm. It doesn't allow you to focus on what you want to do. So being able to take that has really allowed me to kind of springboard a little bit on what I want to do. Your Power Up, the BYOB, the Build Your Own Brand coursing that you've done, that, I mean, I've been in WordPress for years, but there's always, you can always learn more. So the ability to sit down for five courses or 5 days and go through your course on that one has certainly saved me a lot of time as well, because every time you start a new website, a new project, you're really starting from scratch. Mm-hmm. So I took basically everything you went through on the BYOB and I copied that to my podcast website, right down to the theme. And that kind of stuff helps tremendously. Yeah. So if anybody hasn't signed up for the BYOB class, I strongly recommend taking that.
Thank you. And it's free. By the way, smartpassiveincome.com/BYOB. And you're also a student in the Power Up Podcasting course, which is really where I met you. Obviously, I hadn't really gotten to know you until just quite recently through you being a student in that course. And it was because you were, A, very active in the Facebook Student Center community that we have, where all the students are in there and they're talking, they're encouraging each other. And thank you, Phil, by the way, for being there, not just to ask questions, which are helpful for everybody else, but also to support the others that are in there too. That's what I think is really great about that community. But more than that, you were, I think, one of the people who was the quickest to get your show up after taking the course. I don't know how long ago you bought it, but the moment I saw you start working on it, I just all of a sudden saw that you had this, you know, your artwork was out and your podcast was up. Like, what, how are you able to get that done so quickly?
Well, the truth behind it was, I think, I don't remember when you had the enrollment on it, but I think I started in October, So I didn't launch really until January. So it was really 2 months of going through your course material, you know, and learning it.
Oh, okay.
And so it wasn't until I set it, didn't happen, you know, like nothing happens overnight. I mean, it's one of the things you teach, right? And it wasn't until I really set a date. And I set my date in October. Once it started getting really close and once December hit, I'm like, I have to start moving on this now. I have to just clear everything off on my plate and go for this. And I always felt like it's just me. My personality is I always feel like I'm late to everything. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why it felt like from where you were, like things were moving quick, even though they were moving quick, I guess you could say. I was always like, got to get this. But I think having the Power Up Podcasting class, I knew what I needed, right? If I didn't have your course, I would be probably still trying to figure out what the next thing was that I needed. You know, there's a lot involved when it comes to setting up a podcast. It's not as simple as buying a microphone. I mean, it could be as simple as buying a microphone and putting a podcast out there, but there's a lot of other stuff that makes a great podcast. And that's what the Power Up Podcasting course, supports doing, is making something great.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. And I don't want to have people think that this is just a pitch for my courses and stuff, although I do recommend you take them, and I wouldn't have created them if they weren't helpful. But, with your podcast specifically, so a lot of people might be wondering, a podcast about scanner radios, like how many people would actually listen to that? But now that your podcast is up, although you have just started and the numbers are relatively small, you are getting some listens, right?
I am getting some listens, and it's really strange too, because I got a Facebook chat yesterday from somebody, and he says, "Oh, great review. I love listening to your podcast. I just listened to Session 5, which is the one I just released this week." So that's how new really I am. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "I'm in Australia. Listen to you on the train." And I'm thinking to myself, this is crazy. I really don't have a lot of downloads. I mean, if you want me to spill the little numbers I have, I'll let you know. But
no, I think let's be real with people. And I think, this will just show that, yes, you're just getting started. No, crazy results don't happen right away. So if you wanted to share those numbers, go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm 5 sessions in, and I didn't look at Libsyn today. I'm not the kind of person that sits there and watches these things like a hawk. But I have 5 sessions in. I have less than 1,000 total downloads for 5 sessions. So session 5 was about 100 downloads total.
Dude, that's still
legit, it's really small numbers.
No, but seriously, imagine even with that session alone, imagine 100 people in a room. This is, I talk about this in the course. Imagine 100
people
in a room. And here you go, getting a person who's on the other side of the world, taking the time to find you, to reach out to you and give you this message. I mean, that must feel amazing.
It's really mind-boggling to think that, and this person is doing exactly what I'm doing when I listen to your podcast, right? I mean, I'm on my way to work, and I have a podcast on in the car, because really podcasting is, I think, the way that people are going to go forward with learning, and it's just a natural progression of the internet, right? Mm-hmm. Even though podcasting's been out for how many years, I just discovered it, so it's really new to me. I just got into podcasting in 2017, really figured it out as far as a listener goes. So I think it's a better medium to get information. I mean, you can read a blog post, and I know, Pat, you run a great blog, but truthfully, I visited SPI a few times before I discovered really the podcast. And once I discovered the podcast, I was hooked. Mm-hmm. And that's how I get all the information that you have, is through your podcast. I'm not really a blog reader. So I think there's a lot more power in podcasting at this point than maybe, reading something on a computer screen.
No,
you're
100% right.
My point of view.
And I've even seen it in my analytics. Like, even though my business is growing, the revenue is up, the products are selling, the traffic specifically on the website has been down. And that's because a lot of the activity, a lot of the communication, a lot of the engagement happens elsewhere, be it email, be it via the podcast or social media, Facebook groups, etc. And the interesting thing that I have been trying to kind of just wrap my head around is, how can I become part of a person's habit? Or how can I become a habit for people? Meaning, back in the day, it was very easy with a website to do that, because there wasn't all these other mediums. Or there were, but it was just not anything that, most people could get access to in a very easy way, especially like podcasting and such. But with things like, text back then, people would have these feed readers where they could subscribe via RSS to your website, and they would develop a habit every single day going into their feed reader, trying to see, okay, well, who wrote what and what is interesting to me? And that's how people consumed content back then. And now, with all this noise that's out there, the website stuff is not performing as well in terms of, traffic and time on site. But what is performing well is the engagement through these other platforms. Still, the website is important, which is why I developed BYOB at the end of last year, because it's still important to have that hub and that home where you bring people back to and they subscribe to the email list. But, the habits are, like you were just saying, a person on the way to work every single day listening to you, hopefully. Or I know that I'm personally developing a habit of YouTube, where every night after the kids are down, I take a few minutes and I just go to YouTube to see what the top trending videos are in the niches that I'm interested in. And I try not to go down a rabbit hole, but it's very easy to go down a rabbit hole. So why not be a part of another person's rabbit hole and give them something of value in that way? So that thinking about your audience and how they might develop a habit with you, or consuming you as a part of habits that they have every day, I think that's really, really powerful, which is why I'm encouraged that you kind of poked your head a little bit into the podcasting space. And now it seems, I mean, man, when you were telling me even before the recording here, you were like, yeah, you know, I have small numbers. I don't know if I want to share it because it's a little embarrassing. And I'm like, dude, 1,000 listens after 5 episodes in a very niche space. That's huge, because now what's going to happen, and this is what I'm predicting, Phil, is if you keep moving forward with this, we'll talk about that in just a minute, you're going to become known in the industry. You're going to become a powerhouse. You're going to have the authority to then make bigger decisions, bolder actions to, you know, make some noise in this space. So that's really exciting. How does that all like sit with you when I say that?
That's actually what I'm hoping would happen, to be honest with you. I mean, I have ideas. You know, I know the podcasting thing. I know the numbers are small now, but I'm in a very intro part of the topic, and it's the dry stuff. And part of like what's great too about, not to go back to the PU, well, to go back to the pub course, but you have your office hours. And I had asked you a question this past Friday about how I can bring more energy to the podcast, so it's not so dry and it's not so boring, I guess you could say.
Yep.
And I did take your feedback and I made a quick modification to this session's podcast. So, you know,
can you share with everybody what my advice was?
Your advice, first of all, was get off the script. So I did that. I just did a couple bullet points, what I wanted to talk about. And what I also did too was, you had said put some background music or something like that when it gets to something that's really technical. I kind of spun that a little bit and I took audio samples of what I was giving an example for. So when I was talking about a certain part of the topic, I put an audio bite in there to let people listen to hear how that sounds. And the other thing I did was I broke out the segments with the Morse code key, the letter K. So it kind of, it breaks up the vocal, I guess you could say, so that somebody knows that something's coming up that they might want to perk up for and listen to.
Dude, I love it. You're like teaching the stuff that I teach now. This is great.
Yeah, well, I take everything that you teach and I put it to action. So,
no, I appreciate that. Now, are there moments where you see somebody doing something or I or anybody else teaches you to, you know, go take a certain action? Are there at any point voices in your head that just tell you, well, this is difficult, or, you know, I don't know if I should do that, or, you know, does that fear ever come to try and stop you?
Of course it does. I mean, it's the big fear right now to me, because I work a 9-to-5 job, and it's like, and I have a 4-year-old, and it's like, how do I have time to do this? You know, I watch the calendar and it's Sunday afternoon and I have a podcast coming out on Tuesday, and it's like, I got to sit down and do this. You know, that's the fear of missing a deadline is there, but, it's what keeps you going. You know, I know that I have information to share, and that's the goal. And I know at this point I do have small numbers, but I do have people who are looking forward to the next session. I have people giving me feedback. Cause I have, Pat, I used your open-ended questions, idea for ConvertKit. So I use that as part of my onboarding session, and people are giving me their feedback. So I have 60 plus episodes or sessions ready to go in the hopper. So I know I have content out there, but, it's nervous just getting started, just turning that microphone on for the first time and hitting record. I mean,
it's scary,
you tell
right?
a story, how you've recorded your first session three times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did twice, you know, but you got to do it. I mean, that's all there is to it, you know, just pile through it, get through the nerves, and, you know, you can always look back at it and go, yeah, that was embarrassing, but, you know, at least you did it, and that's what you got to do.
Yeah, I actually have a friend sent me this kind of like wooden frame thing where you can like put different plastic letters on the little black board here, and you can change them up whenever you want. I have one. It just literally says start. starting is the hardest thing. You know, a thing, an object at rest tends to stay at rest. So let's get out of that and start just moving, no matter how small it is. That's how you gain that momentum. Now, you had mentioned that, you know, you have a family and you have a 9-to-5 job. How are you able to even fit this hobby slash now turning into more than a hobby inside of all that?
Yeah, it's tough. I'm not going to lie. I do a lot of squeezing in of time. That's my biggest problem right now. So I'm kind of becoming a student of the 5 a.m. miracle again. You know, thanks to you, I think he was a guest on your podcast. Hello, earlier. Yep. And I picked up a Pavlok, thanks again to you, because you had Manish Seti on. So yeah. I'm kind of using that to train myself to at least make sure I get up and follow time as a schedule, because it's very hard to draw the boundaries. Right. You totally. Come home from work and you go straight downstairs and you work on something. You come up for dinner and you go back downstairs again. And then before you know it, the night's over and you didn't really have any personal time. So it is a struggle right now for that. And again, that's part of the word that you just talked about is how, it, you know, I know where I want to go with this. I know I can teach so much via podcast, but I want to get into the Teachable platform and I want to do the videos and I want to do, you know, somebody unboxes a new radio and how to set it up, because I get the same questions asked and I see them on Facebook groups and, you know, how do you do this? How do you do that? I know how to do it because I've taught it 1,000 times, but I need to find the time to sit down in front of a camera and teach this, you know, it visually to people as well. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, finding the time is right. It's tough, and it's something that I'm working on right now to try and figure out for myself the best way to squeeze this all in. I mean, there's been people who do it from their car, you know, during their lunch break. I've seen somebody posted it on the Facebook group. You know, they took an interview at noon in their car, I think while at an airport or something like that. Yeah. You know, to get their podcast going. So, you find the time. It's just, you know, it's a lot of passion. It's passion driven.
Yeah, absolutely. It's passion driven and it's understanding what your priorities are. Because I know a lot of us, we don't even know a lot of where our time goes every single day. And a lot of the people I coach and speak to, you know, we can find time. When I ask people to literally outline every hour of their day and then they give that to me, I go, well, why does this take an hour when it's something that could be a half hour? Or why are you devoting time here when this doesn't align with where you want to go? Now, I obviously understand the importance of having that 9-to-5 job, and I never tell people, despite losing my 9-to-5 job being the start of all this for me, I never tell people to just quit their job. That's not the answer. The answer is understanding what your priorities are, efficiency, optimization, and just taking one step at a time. And really, every single day, just chipping away, that adds up. That adds up. But you know what also adds up is not doing stuff and having that weigh in on your brain and just kind of having you feel like you're falling behind. So as long as you're making progress, that's great. And I'm just so encouraged to hear that you are doing the same, Phil, despite still being a dad and being there at home with the family and providing through your 9-to-5 job. So would the ultimate goal be to actually build this business to a point where you would potentially remove yourself from that 9-to-5 job, or like what are your goals with all this?
My goal right now is I'm small, right? If this were to pay for just my daughter's tuition so she can go to school, I mean, as a start, that would be great. You know, but in the end, yeah, if it brought in enough for me to quit my job, I would love to do this full time. You know, this would be great. I mean, and people do it. It's not unheard of. I mean, mm-hmm. Look at Cliff Ravenscraft, right? He does his consulting gig, right? That's his new 9-to-5 with the podcasting. And I would love to get into the consulting, the one-on-one. You know, if somebody had a question, instead of going to a video or a podcast, you know, to rent me out for an hour, I guess is the way to, you know, and do consulting calls. I mean, that'd be great. Cause then, you know, you do something you have a passion for, you do something you love, and, you'd be able to help people. And that's the greatest thing, you know?
Love that. I have some thoughts, if you don't mind me sharing, about how you can perhaps increase the speed of success in this space, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I got a pen and paper. Let's go.
Okay. And this will be recorded obviously, and people are listening to it, but you know, one cool thing about, you know, I've been studying YouTube a lot, especially, but just different industries in general to try and see, well, what makes a business or certain niches do better than others. And what's really interesting about your niche is it's very niche, but it's also in that realm of technology and electronics. And that gives you a lot of great opportunities because there's a lot of companies out there that are continually innovating. They're continually coming out with new products, right? So the thing is, like, you're never going to run out of content, right? And like you said, you're even getting direct feedback from your target audience about the things that they want to learn about too, which is fantastic. You're setting yourself up quite well there. But related to these companies, what's really cool about these businesses and personalities that have a little bit of authority in their spaces, they have also relationships with these companies. And the fact that you have a podcast allows you for a medium to start to build relationships with those people, the CEOs of those scanner radio component companies or the radio companies or whatever, right? So you have now a platform where you can invite those people on to share about their new toy or their new direction or some changes that they were made, which is A, going to be really useful for your audience. B, through association with you being the one interviewing or highlighting those things, it's going to put you in a more authoritative state as well. And C, it can help you with the sale of any of those things, which is a win for those companies as well. When they start to see some volume coming from you, they're going to start to work with you and want to work with you more. You might, and I can envision this happening, if you get pretty strategic with this, if, say, for example, Phil, you do one interview a month with somebody who is from another company and feature kind of, you know, you become the place where people go to find out this information directly from the voices of those companies, essentially. But then this will help with affiliate sales or your wholesale stuff or any sort of distribution or drop shipping that you do related to these things. I can also imagine a lot of these companies literally sending you prototypes or new versions of things as they come out, which gives you an interesting opportunity. I've been following a lot of YouTubers specifically who get access to things before they come out. And I'm like, how do they do this? Why does this happen? What is the benefit for them? And I think it's pretty obvious. So it would be really cool for you to, for example, get your hands in on something early and be able to talk about it on the podcast. But more than that, I like what you said a little bit later about doing YouTube videos and stuff. And that doesn't have to be very difficult either. I know there are different ranges of how far you can go with that. You can go super big production style like the people do at the Unbox Therapy, which is like a full-on production. But there's a lot of successful YouTubers doing the same thing with literally just a point-and-shoot camera that's pointed down at their hands and just using the microphone on that camera to just open up something that they got from one of these companies, talk about it. And because you have this expertise, you have this knowledge, and you speak the language, I mean, man, these companies are going to send these to you for free. Some of them will require you to, you know, send it back. And that's kind of cool too, because, you know, at least you got access to it. But some will let you keep those things as well. But either way, you're still going to be able to further push your authority and expertise in this space. And what's really cool is you're going to position yourself as the go-to person. I mean, you're on your way, Phil.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. In fact, part of my 60 episodes is to get some of those manufacturers actually on the podcast. So I was kind of waiting until I had a little bit more traction underneath, you know, maybe.
Dude, 10 episodes or so. You have 1,000 downloads already. That's traction.
Okay. All right. So I'll get those emails out today then. Okay. Why wait, right?
Send 3 emails out and then come back to me.
Yeah.
And I'll check with you in the morning and we can see how that goes. But another thing with reaching out to companies like that, A, you're going to have some advantage because you have this podcast, you have 1,000 downloads, you're just getting started. I think that's still very impressive, the numbers. You always say it's low, but I think it's actually quite high. And secondly, if they don't reply right away, wait a couple days and follow up. The fortune is in the follow-up. And so make sure you keep track. Maybe you create a spreadsheet of all the manufacturers that are out there. You can easily find probably some that you probably know most of them, but you could probably find even more on Google and find their contact info. Just go to their contact form or the bottom of their website. There's usually a phone number or some sort of address, and then you can plug that into Google and potentially find a phone number through like a Yellow Pages type thing. There's a lot of things you can do to find the right people. You just got to, again, like you said, put in the time. So what is the most important next thing to do? That's just whenever you have that extra time, that's what you do next. So, man, I'm excited for you, Phil.
And I did the spreadsheet method too. I went on like part of the training that you give with the pup is I made the spreadsheet and I went on the Facebook groups because there's a bunch of groups in that are scanner related. I just hit all the admins. You know, I when did I contact them? When did they reply? When did I publish on there? You know, just get permission to you know, I didn't want to spam the groups, but at least get them and start forming a relationship with those people so that I can maybe get them onto the podcast because, you know, like you say that, then they would say, hey, I'm on this podcast, and they would share it with their group and, and their tribe and, you know, get the numbers up that way. So, you know, and I tried just 2 days ago to get on one, like the biggest website there was, and I put a message out there that had to go through administrative review. So I think they shot me down there, which is really like a, you know, it stinks, but it was kind of expected. So, you know, you just got to keep going through and, you know, keep my fingers crossed. Maybe they'll eventually publish my post. And if not, then I already went last night to the European version. And cause again, you got to think global, you know, it's podcasting's not local. It's a global medium. So, you know, when I hate to say it, right, when one door opens, another one closes, one opens, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there's other ways out there to get, you know, to get known, I guess is what you could say it. So, but yeah, there's really only two manufacturers, which is great as far as where I'm at. There's two main players in the field. So anybody who's listening to my podcast is either going to buy from company A or company B. So I'm kind of hoping to use that leverage too, to kind of like, to get, not only to get them on, but to want to have them put product in my hand so that I can talk about it and do reviews and that kind of stuff with the product.
That's cool. Yeah, so it'll happen. One final tip. This has been great, Phil. Thank you for opening up and being honest with us and sharing your thoughts and your plans. I think it's really cool and it'll be awesome for people to kind of follow along. And, you know, we'll probably have you on. And, you know, one thing I'd love to do in future episodes of the podcast is bring, you know, even in just one episode, bring a number of people back for a short time period just to kind of give an update, just kind of like what they do on the show Shark Tank, how they, you know, give updates on certain winning companies from prior episodes. I think we'll come back. So Phil, keep reminding me maybe in the next few months to, you know, check in with you so I can see your progress. But the last piece of advice I want to offer you is in these very small niches, very hobby-based kinds of things, another great place to go to find people to either interview or at least get on their radar is magazines. So editors and writers of certain magazines, I don't know if there are Scanner Radio type publications out there, whether they're digital or physical, find the authors and get to know them, interview them, get on their radar. Likely, they don't have very many offerings for audio that they could share with their audiences. And they all, of course, have followers on Facebook and Twitter as well. That's a great avenue to find growth as well.
Yep. There's one main magazine. So I'm kind of following their, you know, the columnists on Twitter and kind of going back and forth with them. So trying to establish the relationship now with that to hit that avenue. So, and also the side hobbies that kind of tie into it, like the prepping and the amateur radio and that kind of stuff. I'm just trying to build those relationships now. So when the time comes for me to ask them to come on to the podcast or even vice versa, there's another podcast out there that does the prepping stuff. They're booked out. They're not taking guests, but hopefully if I keep following and engaging them with them on Twitter and on their forums, then, you know, when they open up, then maybe I can get it's a foot in the door to get in onto their podcast. So
yeah, a no is just a no, not yet.
Exactly.
Cool, man. Hey, Phil, this is any final words of advice or just thoughts before we finish up here?
Yeah. Do you mind if I take something I learned last night from your convert kit thing and put it forward and do a little quick giveaway for you guys?
Oh yeah, sure.
Okay. So, part of, again, what you talked about last night, I'll set up an email the top of the five things that you should know before buying your first or your next scanner radio. So it'll be a quick little bullet point of five things to look out for. And you can grab that at scannerschool.com/SPI. And I guess the name of the podcast that I have is Scanner School. So that's the website for it.
And is it scannerschool.com is the URL?
Scannerschool.com, yeah. So the top five things to know will be at scannerschool.com/SPI.
Cool, I love it. So, hey guys, a little context. Last night, myself and the webinar producer from ConvertKit, which is the email service provider that I use, I'm an advisor for. We were in my studio together doing a webinar to teach people how to grow their email list. And Phil was taking the lessons. He was watching live. And one of the big things we dove into last night was creating a great opt-in or lead magnet to incentivize people to go on your email list, to get on your email list. So it's really cool to see Phil literally like putting this into place right now. And I'm guessing that between the, you know, what was it, 12 hours ago that that happened, you haven't created that yet, but it is something you're going to create, right?
I'm hoping by the time that, this podcast goes live, yeah, it'll be there. Okay. Maybe the day before, but it'll be there.
Well, you have some time, and that's great because that's a lead magnet that you can also share with your audience to grow your email list too outside of the SPI.
Exactly.
People. So very cool. ScannerSchool.com/SPI. Phil, dude, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for being an action taker and, of course, being a student of mine in, several of my courses. I appreciate it. We'll check in with you soon.
Great. Thank you so much, Pat.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that chat and conversation with Phil Lichtenberger. Hey, Phil, I know you're listening to the show. You're a fan, and just, first of all, congratulations on your success so far. Although small, this is where it starts, right? And I think a lot of people are just going to be encouraged by you starting, taking action on something that where you know, on the surface, this is like, well, this is a really small niche. How many people can there be? Well, like you said, there's conventions and things that happen, which means there's an audience there. And because you're the one that's taking action, because you're the one that is now building an authority website on the topic, and you're making it fun and you're having fun at the same time, man, it's a recipe for success. So I'm looking forward to catching up with you again in the future so we can check in on you. And of course, you know, I see you in the student centers all the time anyway, so I'll see you for sure. So hey, guys, check it out. scannerschool.com if you want to check out more from Phil. And by the way, I know a lot of you are maybe at this point you're like, I'm convinced I want to start a podcast as well. If you do, you can check out my free 3-day how to start a podcast tutorial at howtostartapodcast.com. You can check that out from there. So guys, make sure you subscribe if you haven't already. We got a lot of great content coming your way, including next week's episode, which is about, I wish I had this up because that would have been smoother, but it's not, which is why I'm filling this space right now. Just kidding. Okay, number 12, we're talking with a guy named Casey Graham, a good friend of mine, who's going to help us recover payments. Like, seriously, this is something that since having my own courses, I didn't even realize was a problem. But his company and his tactics will solve the problem of failed payments, something where companies are losing thousands of dollars a month, some without even really knowing it. And Casey's going to give us some strategies on how to fix that. So make sure you subscribe if you haven't already. And again, I look forward to serving you in next week's episode. Until then, keep crushing it, guys. Thank you. My name is Pat Flynn, here to help you make more money, save more time, and help more people too. Cheers, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Hey there, and thanks for sticking around to the end. If you're looking for more great shows like this one, definitely give How Success Happens a listen, another great show from the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. On How Success Happens, Robert Tuchman features some of today's brightest entrepreneurial minds talking about overcoming challenges and viewing them as learning experiences to create success. The challenges that entrepreneurs face are ultimately what make many of us successful, however we define success, and that's what the show is all about. There's lots of names you'll surely recognize on the show every single week. Just recently, Robert had Nasty Gal CEO Sophia Amoruso on the show, and the former CEO of Snapple the week before that, which is really awesome. So listen to How Success Happens right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.